Would a label warning you of the environmental dangers of fossil fuel consumption stop you from filling up your tank? A Toronto-based environmental group believes that it would. Our Horizon is campaigning directly to municipal leaders in an effort to have labels placed on gas nozzles across the country, each one depicting a danger of fossil fuel consumption, similar in style to the labels on tobacco products. Rob Shirky is Executive Director of Our Horizon and joins us now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks a lot for having me on your show.
What kind of response have you had? Is there any municipality buying into this?
Yeah, we've actually been getting a lot of response, mostly from municipalities here in southern Ontario, from councillors and their staff, so legal departments, licensing departments, et cetera, inquiring for more information. Here in Toronto, which is where I'm from, I've been able to meet with a good number of city councillors all across the political spectrum, actually, who are warm to the idea. So I think it actually has a good chance of being passed. Of course, the first step would be for a staff report just to get a full assessment of what this would entail. And that, of course, is relatively innocuous as a motion. It's, you know, neither support for the motion or against it. It's just, hey, let's get more information. And so most councillors seem to be willing to take that step. And I think part of that, of course, is understanding the gravity and sense of urgency with climate change. And when one does appreciate what we're up against, and we're willing to take some innovative, interesting steps. So, yeah, it's been great so far.
Have you had much public reaction?
Yes, I have. And again, the public reaction kind of varies. A lot of people get the idea. And again, it's you have to have that background where you appreciate what we're up against. So if you do accept the science on climate change and understand that, you know, we've had fossil fuels locked under Earth for millions of years, and we've been burning them in a variety of applications just over the course of a few generations and alter the chemistry of the planet. So if you appreciate that, then I think the idea is compelling, especially to the extent that, much like any problem, the first step in taking meaningful action forward is simply just acknowledging the challenge that you face, acknowledging the reality of it, and the extent to which we're all responsible for it. So people do see this as a compelling idea, but I think a good part of it, of course, first is there usually has to be that understanding that we're up against, you know, humanity's up against something pretty unprecedented here.
We're starting to see alternatives to the traditional gas-driven automobile. We're seeing hybrids, we're seeing electric cars. Is there not a potential evolution started already to dramatically reduce the amount of gas that we burn?
You know, I think there is, and I think that's encouraging, but I don't think it's fast enough. What's interesting is, so the Ford Model T rolled off the assembly line in 1908. It actually got mileage of between 6 and 9 kilometers per liter. Fast forward 100 years later, and there are cars on the road that get the same or marginally better. Of course, there are cars that do get significantly better, but we are capable of, and this is amazing, Shell actually sponsors a competition every year called the Eco Marathon, and they ask high school students and university students to develop vehicles with high fuel efficiency in a variety of categories, so not just conventional gasoline. But even if you look at conventional gasoline alone, these students are making vehicles that go over 1,000 kilometers per liter, which is mind-blowing, but it's on, you know, of all websites, a big oil company's website. So we're capable of much, much better. And I think if we're going to move as quickly as we need to move, and we really are running out of time with climate change, then we need to have more of a signal. And this is all this is. It's an economic signal. It's a way of capturing and communicating externalities through a qualitative means, through the use of image and text, to incent the market then to move a little quickly. And we are capable of, you know, all sorts of different innovations, like you say, hybrid, electric, even solutions, say, on the public side, investing in public transit. I mean, we can move 50 people in 50 cars or 50 people in one bus. So technologies exist.
But for a lot of people, that's not an option. I mean, there are an awful lot of people listening to me right now who are listening in their cars. And many of them are probably going to call and say, look, a bus isn't an option. I have to go to four different sites in the course of my work day. They're in various parts of the city, and I couldn't possibly service my clients if I had to try and take public transit. It doesn't work.
You know, of course, and there is right now a lot of truth to that. So on the private side, ultimately, we can abstract it to mobility. It's a question of mobility, how to get from A to B. On the private side, with the regular car, as I said before, there are so many possibilities. We just need to incent the market a little bit more. Basically, the idea with the warning label is to get consumers to demand more of governments and industry, so we do adopt and transition more quickly to those technologies. But say with public transit, like many things, the only reason public transit isn't always the most viable of options is because we don't invest in it. If we were to aggregate our funds and collectively invest in, say, the public solution to mobility, especially here in Toronto now, it's funny, and I imagine in Vancouver too, you're having a debate on public transit. But here right now, gridlock is brutal, and it ends up being the cheaper option too. If you think about how much a car might cost when you consider lease, gas, insurance,
parking,
all that jazz, yeah, you're actually looking, a lot of cars might cost you, you know, $10,000 to $11,000 a year. And even if you take that, so an average Canadian income is roughly $46,000. So a quarter of the money you make is spent on your mobility solution. If you work a 9-to-5 job, the first 2 hours of your job are spent paying for that hunk of steel, you know, sitting in a parking lot. But if we look at, say, public transportation, if you were to spend, say, one-tenth of what you spend on the private side, the private solution for mobility, and if we were to aggregate that, we can all have an amazing option where you're not waiting forever for a bus or whatever the particular, I mean, here we're talking about.
Let me open the phones. I'm really curious to see what kind of reaction we get to this. Would a warning label make you think twice about filling up your car? 604-280-9898. Toll free, 1-877-399-9898. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network, and my phones are open to you.
You're listening to The Bill Good Show on CKNW.
Our Horizon is campaigning to municipal leaders in an effort to have labels placed on gas nozzles across the country, each one depicting a danger of fossil fuel consumption, similar to the labels on cigarette packages. Rob Shirky is Executive Director of Our Horizon, and I welcome your calls to him. What do you think of the idea, Doug? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. I think this guy's got to be related to Gregor Robertson. A few years ago, NW had a company selling, if you joined up with, I think it was Tree Frog or Green Frog, they'd charge you extra for your power, and that way you would feel better about the...
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. At any rate, I think we'd be better off just getting people to stand by the pumps, and when somebody pulls in with a V10 or something that's not ecologically friendly, just try to humiliate them right there in person.
Rob Shirky, have you made any representation to Vancouver City Council?
Yeah, I have. People actually through our website, ourhorizon.org, can send emails to their councillors to advocate for this. So a few people have been sending emails to councillors in Vancouver. And I had Andrea Reimer contact me via email to inquire more about this. And so I think there are people that are warm to the idea. I think, you know, as every diligent counselor should, she's asking for a bit more information on it, say a legal report or a staff opinion, something to that effect. And the nice thing is actually I have some colleagues out west that are going to be providing that information soon. So, and to answer, you know, Doug's question, it would be wonderful to have a person at every single pump, but one of the great things about this initiative is it's just a fraction of a penny, where a lot of approaches to climate change, you know, cost billions of dollars. It's just a couple of pennies to print a sticker and put on a pump. So in terms of the amount of investment in this and the potential high impact of it, the way it has the potential to move markets, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer as long as you appreciate what we're up against with climate change.
Ted, good morning.
Good morning. I'll just give you a couple of comments here. And I'm curious to know where the money's coming from for this project, because if it's coming out of my pocket that I have to pay more money to fill up my car to get to work to feed my family, I'm not in favor of it. I'm sorry, sir, but if you want to pay for this and put stickers on the pumps, hey, go to it. But you know what? My costs are through the roof right now, and I don't think a sticker is going to make a huge difference in the general scheme of things.
Mr. Shirky?
Yeah, so for one thing, again, it's incredibly inexpensive. Gasoline retailers can be made to cover the cost, and you know, to do an entire gas station might cost $1. And so in my pocket alone, I could probably do 100 gas stations in the city right now.
A dollar? Nothing costs a dollar.
Well, yeah, a sticker. To print a sticker at any shop might cost, you know, a nickel, a sticker. So if there's a few gas pump nozzles at a gas station, it's a minimal cost to get this done. As to the second piece, whether or not they're effective. So in the tobacco realm, there's a great meta study that your viewers can look up from the Sandbrook Institute commissioned by the European Union. The warning labels do work, and pictorial warning labels in particular. There's something more like 50 countries or more that have adopted them. And so clearly they work. Tobacco companies wouldn't be fighting against them if they didn't. So we anticipate for some individuals this could be the nudge they need to maybe renew when it comes time to renew their lease, get a more fuel-efficient vehicle. But the bigger piece is it'll contribute to this shift in collective willingness to address the issue, and then that creates the space.
Chris, good morning.
Hey, guys. Anything to help expedite the process, I welcome the idea. And like you said, it's fairly cheap. As far as last caller and expenses, I feel the pinch at the pump. By supporting the pump and the oil companies, we're not going to lower the price of gas anytime soon. Best way to lower that price, I believe, is to offer an alternative. If you look at a car like Tesla, I mean, it's a high-end electric luxury car, but I mean, it really pretty much hits every knock on the electric vehicle. Ugly, this thing's beautiful.
Yeah, I've seen them.
This thing's fast. I mean, it's a great car. So
but it costs over $100,000.
And it's their business model. They're starting there. I mean, it's an upstart company. In 3 years, they're suggesting they're going to have a $25,000, somewhere around 300-kilometer range. But I just want to also point out, Bill, you always bring up this point that there's people in their car saying, I can't take transit. And that is right. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I drive for a living. I need my car. But I also say there's probably equally, maybe even more people in their cars saying that, yeah, I would use transit if the transit system was better. But the reality is I live in Langley. If I needed to use transit, it's not even an option. So if we do invest in transit, we do expedite the process of electric vehicles, that would definitely drive down prices to the previous caller, and they're going to have to start lowering their prices because they're competing with somebody now.
Appreciate your call. Must break. Come back with more of your calls. 604-280-9898. Would warning labels on gas pumps reduce your consumption? Talking with Rob Shirky, Executive Director of Our Horizon. They're pushing for municipalities to do just that, warning labels on pumps. Gary, good morning.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
No, I look at this guy as just part of the Al Gore cult. You know, the market dictates what people want to do, and if they really want to, you know, get green, they can buy electric cars. The other thing, you know, this guy probably, where does he get his money from? You know, he jets around probably and puts all that junk in the air as it is through. I mean, it's aircraft. I mean, look at the aircraft in the air on any standing day, Bill. There's just millions of aircraft in the air.
So, Rob Shirky, I mean, the caller makes a good point. I think he was referring to Al Gore when he talked about flying around. How is Our Horizon funded?
I'm funding this all out of my own pocket. So my background is a lawyer, and I've just been funding this myself. We're currently seeking funding. A good question, though, regarding the market dictates. This actually is, it's a market signal. So the labels don't necessarily prescribe anything. They just provide relevant information to the marketplace to then rely on the marketplace to come up with solutions. Typically, we rely on pricing mechanisms to capture and communicate these external harms. But what this does, instead of going a quantitative route with the price signal, we take a qualitative route and we use image and text. So this really is, it's a pro-market solution that we believe has the ability to cause, you know, to incentivize innovation, better allocate capital. And at the end of the day, really, there's a lot at stake with climate change. So I think it's the way to go.
David.
Yeah, hi, Bill. About climate change, I mean, we won't discuss that, but I've just been reading a long report from the world's leading solar scientists that actually, ironically, are using a lot of the data from the Oliver Observatory, and, you know, they're saying that the Earth is going to be cooling because the sun is going into a cycle low, but that's besides the point. As far as electric cars go, these people that preach this, they don't understand the first thing about the electrical grid and the electrical supply. Just a reality check with BC Hydro, for example. On an annual basis, BC Hydro, if it's running at full speed capacity, it produces 43 terawatts of power a year. Yet BC demands 51 terawatts of power a year. So they're pulling 7 terawatts from Alberta, which is produced by coal. So if you have electric cars, you're just going to be changing the fuel source from gas to coal. It's ridiculous. And the fact that they're not practical and they don't work.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest that the reality is we're going to be using internal combustion gasoline diesel cars for the rest of your lifetime and mine. I would say the next 50 years, because there is nothing in science today that can replace what in physics it's called energy density. There is nothing. There's no battery technology. There's no way of producing electricity that can replace the energy demand that are used by the vehicle fleet. There's
Rob Shirky, we have 30 seconds left. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, the internal combustion engine is a very inefficient way of converting the chemical energy stored in hydrocarbons and fossil fuels into kinetic energy to get the wheel to move. About 80% of that power is lost to heat and exhaust. And when you think of it, we're, you know, moving around about 150-pound person and 4,000 pounds worth of steel. When you do the math, for every dollar we spend on gas, 99 cents is lost to you know, these emissions and moving steel. So there are better solutions. We, even with existing, with fossil fuels, as I mentioned before, students invest and invent, rather, vehicles that get over 1,000 kilometers per liter. I think it's just a failure of imagination that we suffer from, and we really have to step our game up on this. Because,
okay, I got a break. Okay. I have to break for the news. My thanks to Rob Shirky, a provocative idea, interesting discussion. The news next.